Isaiah chapter number 40, tonight, book of Isaiah chapter number 40. One of my favorite texts in the Word of God. Chapter number 40. I'm going to begin reading to verse 18 and read down to verse number 31. Verse 18 says, "Whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the world? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath covered these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for this marvelous chapter. Thank you for these words that convey so much about you and what you wish to do for us. I ask tonight, Lord, that we might behold your magnificent, we might see your beauty, we might understand your marvelous provision in our lives, not just physically, but spiritually. We pray tonight for the leadership and the power and the unction of the Spirit of God, that what goes forth might be from you, what is heard in the ear might be that which you speak, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If we go back to chapter number 39, we find that it foretells the captivity of Israel into Babylon. And so now we are probably in Babylon, as he's talking to these people, and in the providence of God, he orders this chapter of the comfort and provision of God to his people. If you go back and notice with me, verse number 1, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You drop down to verse 11 and 12, and it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. As I read that verse 12 especially, and go on with the next few verses, I believe what's impressed upon our soul is the tremendous power of God. His tremendous power. If you notice verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him. with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. We see the magnificence of our God. And as we look have read in the next few verses, there is none to which you can compare him. There is no comparison. He talks about some who make their gods out of stone, some who make it out of wood, and how they are still and how they have no life within them. And so here he writes in these verses, I believe, trying to encourage those who are in captivity and I believe perhaps getting ready to leave and to head back to the land of Israel. Most likely to those in exile, the last verses are intended as instruction. You see, they had about 800 miles across hot desert sands in their travel. Now, I don't know about you, but walking 800 miles is not exactly fun by itself, let alone being in desert kind of situations. I remember as we were in Bible college, we'd make the trek from Pontiac to Council Bluffs. It was 750 miles. And we would drive at about 75 miles an hour. By the way, that was the speed limit then. And it would take us 10, 11 hours to do that. That would not be for these people, as they would be crossing over these hot sands. Matter of fact, it had been so difficult, and I believe he's suggesting here, that the strongest will fall to weariness. Notice verse number 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The youth that never come to complete exhaustion and competition, they will never be in the place of understanding his need of restoration. But that young man who goes out on the ball field or wherever it might be and plays until he can go no longer begins to understand the need for rest. You get to be my age and you walk a block and you rest. Some days it's half a block and you rest, okay? And what do we find? We find there's a weakness that comes. The muscle that is taken to the point of tearing is the one that grows. And so the strongest are those who are going to fall to weariness. They're going to take it to that point in their lives. And God's teaching us something marvelous in the message of verse number 31. To those who have nothing left of themselves, God gives a promise. How often have you looked at verse 31 with great delight? Perhaps you have it on a plaque in your home. Perhaps you've written that down someplace, or perhaps it's highlighted in your Bible and you've gone to it often. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is allowing God to take that which is worn out, basically, and make it anew. Matter of fact, really, some people look at this and they say, well, this is prayer. And perhaps there is some point to that. But I believe that it's speaking of something even more. And that is that we are in a position where we're saying, I just depend upon God. I'm going to rest in Him. Matter of fact, Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And so there's a matter that we do what we can do, and then when we're worn out, we wait for God to do what He wants to do. I'll give you an illustration. God teaches me that I'm to preach the Word, and that's my job to do. But it's not my job to prick the heart. It's not my job to be the Holy Spirit of God. I've been in services where I think the preacher doesn't understand that, and he tries to talk people down the aisle. I've sometimes been in those services and thought, why don't you shut up and let God do what he wants to do? You've done preach, now let God work. And that's true in much of our lives. You know, a seed is placed in the ground to grow, but it's not going to do it till the frost is out of the ground and the waters generate some new life. And so what do we need? We need those times where you step back and we rest, if you please. We allow God to do what he wants to do. It's allowing him to do it in his time, not despairing, but repairing. Though the trek may be long, as it was for these, there is a renewal of strength. And what he does in verse number 31 is give us three analogies of that renewal to encourage our soul. Though it was written for them, it was also, I believe, written for us. And so we notice some very important things. Notice, first of all, about halfway through, it says, they shall mount up wings as eagles. The updrafts from the hills lift that waiting eagle as he plunges from the cliff of rest and moves out into the world. And that particular kind of thing allows us to see as God sees and to know movement without effort. As he jumps off the cliff, his eyes look toward the sun. Interesting, God has equipped the eagle with a transparent membrane over his eyes that he can look directly into the sun. And I believe that's very picturesque, because you and I, as we go through life, need to look to the sun. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. And allow him to lead and guide and direct. Matter of fact, as they're soaring above the earth, they have tremendous eyesight. Do you know an eagle's eye is as big as a human, but they're a whole lot smaller. And they have ability to see things so much greater than us. And so what do we find? All of creation becomes their food supply. And whatever it is, God allows them to see it. They can see the movement. They can swoop down and grab. I don't know if you know this, but of course we have the geese that come through here in the fall headed south, and in the spring headed back north. And if you've ever noticed, that's when you can see eagles around. Many eagles follow the geese. In fact, what they're doing is calling out those that are weak and those that are ready to die. And they're actually doing a service in a sense. But God's given a food supply. Did you know that there's no predator for the eagle? He is on top of the whole heap. And so God's telling us to mount up with wings as eagles, that we might soar above, that we might allow God to take us wherever it is he wants to take us. Notice also he talks about running. They shall run and not be weary. I was telling somebody the other day, I went out to track, out for track two different times. One, it was regular track, and I'm not sure what I was going to try to do. And I went out for cross-country track. I don't know why in the world that crossed my mind. And in both cases, listen, I don't like running. How many of you like to run? There's people who like to run. And you people are weird to me. Okay, even when I played basketball, I didn't care to run. And I would have rather played point guard than play center, because I wouldn't have had to run so far up and down the court. But we find here, he says, run and not be weary. Do you realize today there is a race for the souls of men? And as we're seeking after people and running after them for the cause of Christ, somehow God removes the weariness of running after him. There's also another race that we ought to think of, and that is, as the devil brings temptations to us, we are admonished to flee from those. Run and God will take away the weariness. Run and not be weary. So he says, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And then the last, I believe, is perhaps the greatest of all. He says, and they shall walk and not faint. Most of life is a walk, often over familiar ground, again and again. The walk of the captives would have covered some 20 miles a day at the most, and they also would have experienced some tremendous water problems. I would not doubt that perhaps blisters would have held them at bay. And perhaps it's here that our faith is tested the most, as God wants us to go forward, and they shall walk and not faint. As we wait upon Him, as we rest in Him, as we allow Him to open the doors, as we allow Him to do whatever it is He's going to do, we have the ability to go forward. There are folks who say, and I've done this myself, we look at different folks and we say, I could never do that. I could not handle what they are handling. Yes, you could if that's what God wanted you to do. Yes, you can if God has put you in that position. You could handle it. And because, why is that? God is the one that supplies that. They shall walk and not faint. Not faint. That word basically, I think, just means they're not going to quit. They're going to stick at it. Stay with it. There was a famous preacher many years ago. You've no doubt heard of Bob Jones University. Bob Jones Sr. Was an evangelist in the South. And he preached all over in the southern states and a little bit north, but not as much. And one of the sermons he preached very, very often was, never quit. Never quit. I sat in Bible college for 3 years, heard messages over and over again. And my pastor, Dr. Tom Malone, preached that same kind of message over and over. Why do you reckon he did that? Because the walk of life is difficult, but we don't faint. We don't quit. We have to realize that God will renew our strength. There's going to be some times we're waiting. There's some times where we're setting back and allowing God to bring that healing. But God will take us through the whole thing. Walk and not faint. And so we look at this verse as they that wait upon the Lord. Somebody said that wait means like a waiter, somebody who's serving. And actually, that's not really true, I don't believe, as you look at the etymology of the word, because it's a word that's talking about really relaxing in the Lord and allowing Him to do what He wants to do. And so as we wait upon Him, He shall renew our strength. He will do that. I have seen that over and over and over again. Many years ago, some of you remember Brother Al Wells. I don't know why it was, but for the last 5, maybe 6 years he came. He came normally about the first week of December. In the earlier days, we had him in the springtime, and I don't know, we changed it, and every year, and when he came or just before he came, he would get pneumonia, but he'd come anyway. He would stand in this pulpit and preach anyway. There were times he said to me, Gene, I don't know if I can get finished with this, and then he'd stand up there for 55 minutes, and I was beginning to wonder if he'd ever quit. And talking to him afterwards, he said, there's something about it. When I do what God wants me to do, He gives me the strength to do it. Now take me back to the motel because I'm ready to sleep. But I've experienced the same thing. That's a physical thing, but it's also spiritual. As God is the one who takes care of us. The trail might be long. The path might be difficult. But what's God teach us? He teaches us from three aspects. Be like the eagle. Catch the wind in your wings. Look to the sun. And allow that sight that God has given you to see the prey and the sustenance and all that be there. And allow you to be the predator for souls and the one that the devil should run from. Amen. He says, run and not be weary. It's a race for men's souls. Men are dying by the thousands without Christ. Our nation is in tremendous throes at this very moment, and we need to run after them. There are folks who need us. There's a race from the temptations of the devil, for they are there. And what do? When we have a temptation, run from it. Run from it. Teenagers, run from those temptations. Don't stand believing you have the strength to handle them, and run from those and allow God to give you the strength to get away from it. Walk and not faint. Keep at it. Don't give up. And though the road be difficult, though the walk that which is the way we travel day after day, God will bless and God will help us through it. They shall renew their strength. Have you ever come to the end of your rope? And you wonder, how can I go on? How can I keep on doing this? And yet God somehow, if he wants you to, gives you the strength to do it. I've seen that personally. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in others. I believe verse number 31 is true from beginning to end. Let's go to him in prayer in these moments. Father, thank you so much that we can come unto you. Thank you, O God, for this tremendous verse. And Lord, when we get weary and we get discouraged and we get down, help us to remember what this says. Help us, O God, to stop and rest in you, understanding that you will work it out. And it's not for us to figure it out. It's just for us to wait and let you do it. I pray, O God, for your blessing as we continue here with just a few more moments, that you'd be glorified, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.